All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is good to be with you. My name is Doug Thornton. This is the American Vindicta Show. Thanks for checking this out. I want to give a big shout out to the fans. all you who listen and email me, all you crazy people out there, I really appreciate everything that you do. I appreciate the emails. I do like the discourse on YouTube, on the comment section, if you haven't noticed that yet. If you post something stupid, I will post something stupid back in reference to you. But I do like having these philosophical conversations with people. There was an exchange that I had with a guy that was trying to convince me his side of the theory of the flat earth theory stuff. And, you know, here's my take on it. If you are an average normal person and can speak like one, you know, if you make it to where I can comprehend what you're saying, I'll listen to you, all right? I'm not one of those guys who just throws you to the wind. But, you know, be careful if you're going to, you know, start just telling me all these different references that I should be looking up. I want to hear things in your own words. So if you ever get into that conversation with me, come prepared, because I'm prepared for that conversation. So, like I said, I don't want to hear 20,000 different references and go to this guy's YouTube page and that guy's YouTube page. I ain't got time for all that. All right, I live on a farm 24/7, and I own a radio show, so I'm busy. But if you can give me like a bunch of good preferences, some good context, I'll listen to you. Big shout out to a fellow Marine named Matt. He's working on something for the Wrecker Chronicles show that is going to be a cool part of the show. And here, God willing, within the month, we'll start the first filming of the first episode. And that's going to be pretty epic. I want to give another big shout out to a guy, Steven Reisner. Now, occasionally you may be able to hear it in my voice, in my tone, that sometimes doing this job sucks. You know, I'm used to being outside. I'm used to working with people and guns and, you know, having cool cars and all that other type of stuff. And now I don't. So I don't know what to do with myself at the time. So I feel like I tend to ramble. But, you know, occasionally if you really start to deep dive into research and you really start to deep dive into politics, it can get depressing, the stuff that you find. And, you know, it's up to us to lift one another up, to hold each other above that waterline. You know, because it feels like a lot of times I'm treading water with what I'm doing, and I still question myself consistently if what I'm doing is the right thing or not. But, you know, I'm on a task that God put me on, so I'm not going to move from it until he says I'm done. But I just want to say a big shout out to Steven Reisner. I actually want to read his message because it was uplifting for me. You know, one brother speaking to another, we may speak a little bit harshly. And, you know, some of the stuff that I put out, I know, does get blasted in emails and does get sent to church leaders and pastors and reverends. And for all you out there, the brothers of the cloth, hello, thank you very much. Thank you for your service. But I am a very different animal. I do cuss from time to time. I do have a very different outlook. I'm not exactly what most people would call like friendly, I guess you could say, church friendly. So I'm not trying to be Mr. Friendly either. So one thing I used to say all the time in law enforcement, and a lot of my young guys, they started repeating it, but I don't get friendship pay. So if I step on your toes, oh well, I don't mean to, but that just is the way I am. That's just how I speak. I speak very harsh. I speak very brash. I really don't care if I offend people, if I hurt their feelings. Occasionally, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's okay for us to know that, you know, you can have your feelings hurt and you can get over it. And I know probably a bunch of you are just laughing right now because you think the same thing. We live in a very weak generation of America, and I'm trying to bring back a little bit of strength, a little bit of alpha maleness. So, you know, do us all a favor and you know, let's try and make each other stronger together. You know, let's be a little hard on each other every now and then too. That's not bad to be hard on one another. All right, now, I'm not saying that you need to be putting people down, but you can hold people accountable, and people should be held accountable. Occasionally, it's good to be put in your place. Same for me. You know, occasionally it's good for me to be put in my place. That way I know that I don't stand on top of a pedestal above everybody, which I don't. It's a soapbox and I'm normally screaming on top of it. We're going to be working on some merchandise soon, some shirts and hats and sweatshirts of a bunch of funny sayings and some of the sayings that some of you guys are emailing me saying that, oh man, this should be a shirt. So I've gotten quite a few of those emails, so I'm going to be working on some stuff. You'd be shocked at how expensive this is. I don't know how these, well, I guess these big-name guys like InfoWars and all that, they got the funding to do all these fancy shirts. And everything that I put out, I don't want it to be crap, all right? I'm one of those guys that always tells you to save up your money and buy good gear. Save up your money, buy good clothes, get what you need to get you by, but then buy something that's reputable. So instead of just, you know, for the sake of having merchandise to sell, I want to be able to save up to give you good merchandise, not cheap merchandise. Because nobody likes a cool design on a cheap shirt that feels like cardboard. So bear with me. Hopefully here in a couple months I'll have something for you. And I think it's going to be pretty cool. But getting back to this email from my brother Steven, he says, hey, Doug, just wanted to reach out and give you some words of support. I wanted to say that I hear the same stuff that you do from wannabes talking about going out and getting themselves sixed up, talking about going out and committing January 6 on themselves. Effing ignore that. I wouldn't even acknowledge their existence, pay no attention, don't give them space on the show, stay on point. You're making a good difference, and you're doing a good job. Looking forward to the next show. Strength and honor. So, you know, for one thing, Stephen, thank you very much for sending me that. I needed it. And, you know, I get emails like this from people all the time. And, like I said, the encouragement is what I encourage. You know, within this little community of ours that we're creating now with this little podcast of mine, you know, get familiar with each other in the chat rooms. You know, be a little bit of Philadelphia in there. Keep a little bit of brotherly love, but you know, get familiar with one another because I ain't going anywhere. I don't plan on it. I plan on doing my best to climb the rungs of this ladder in this business. And I'm going to move people out of the way because there's a very small platform that's available for people like us to get out there, to give you an actual positive message, a motivational message, something that's worth listening to instead of just consistent fear mongering, instead of just constantly telling you all these bad things are going to happen all the time. Look, we get it. God's going to judge the country. Doesn't mean I need to mope around all day like a dope. All right? Get out and go fishing. Enjoy your life. I'm telling you right now, if you listen to me and I put you down, turn me off. Turn me off. Go listen to some rock and roll. Go listen to some good music. Get outside. Go for a walk. That's the one thing I want to encourage people to do. Have a consistent, happy spot in your life. And if you are having a hard time, if you're struggling with something, my best coping mechanism is to tell you to get off your TV, get off your laptop, get out of your damn house, get outside, get some sunshine, go to a national park, go for a walk in the woods. Now, depending on where you live, if you live up in bear country, don't go for a walk in the woods with your headphones on. Have situational awareness because Mr. Brown Bear is not that friendly. However, and neither are moose. Jesus, they're big. However, if you're feeling depressed, because look, I get it. Man, I get it. You know, potential world war. We got Brandon as the president, and that sucks enough. All right, we see all this stuff about racism going on. We see the stuff with the failing dollar, the COVID lockdowns. You know, all the leftists are going crazy. Yeah, Elon Musk bought Twitter, but hey, man, I don't really put Elon Musk in, like, the same group of people that I'm in. He's very much a New World Order guy, and don't think he's not. I'm not saying Elon Musk is or is not a good or bad guy. I'm just telling you, if you really do a deep dive into what that man thinks, if you really look at some of the stuff that he says, you'll realize that he's not exactly on the side of the Christians in the way that you think. Yeah, he may want free speech. Everybody does, though. It's the other stuff. And I'll let you do your own investigation of that. I'm not going to slander the man any more than what I just did. You know, if it were up for me, I'd buy a Tesla truck right now. I'd buy a Cybertruck. They're cool as hell, and I want one. I want 900 horsepower in a truck. But, you know, just be cautious. Be cautious. Be cautious of people who come to you bearing gifts. There's a very old saying about that from Troy, you know, be cautious of Greeks bearing gifts, because sometimes it is a Trojan horse. Sometimes it's not what you think it is, and you have to investigate into what people are, what they say, who they hang out with. Elon Musk is for the vaccines. Elon Musk is for universal income. You know, Elon Musk is for putting a chip in your brain so that it can help you with your, you know, everyday bodily functions. If you're you know, if you're physically hurt or if you're paralyzed, that's a good thing. But he also wants to put a chip in your brain because eventually he says we're going to have to merge with computers and AI. Sorry, guy. Not me. Not me. You know, and I'm not going to speak for anybody on this. If you want that, by all means. If you want to be R2-D2, go outside and do it, man. If you want me to start calling you C-3PO, go ahead and go do it. Let them cut open your head, root around there with a stick, and put some sort of inanimate object in there and see if it works. It worked for a monkey for a little bit. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But, you know, I don't believe in stuff like that. I don't want that to happen to me. So, and I don't want that to happen to you either. You know, in my mind, I see stuff like that and I think Skynet immediately. Terminator and then the end of the world, right? So, that's just me. Hey, look, there's a new thing that's going around. And the H1N3, I believe, bird flu in China. They just found out that the bird flu has now jumped the species barrier, and they have their first human positive case with this. I think it's H1N3. So here we go again. Listen to the news. All right, now there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 articles that all say the same thing. All right, so this is from Channel 24 News, and it says mixing with the unvaccinated increases risk of COVID-19 infection for fully vaccinated, new Canadian study finds. Here's the next one. CTV, Canada TV. Being with unvaccinated people increases COVID-19 risk for those who are vaccinated, study finds. National Observer. Mixing with the unvaccinated increases risk of COVID for those unvaccinated. Are you starting to see a pattern? Here, let's go down again. Toronto Star. Remaining unvaccinated increases risk to the vaccinated, says U of T COVID study. Ottawa. The Ottawa Citizen. Says mixing with unvaccinated increases COVID-19 risk for vaccinated people, study finds. The Globe and Mail, that's another Canadian news outlet. Unvaccinated disproportionately risk safety of those vaccinated against COVID-19, study finds. Niagara Falls Review. Remaining unvaccinated increases risk to the vaccinated, says U of T COVID study. Unvaccinated people increase risk of COVID-19 infection among vaccinated, says some stooge from Global News. City News Everywhere says the same thing. Newwise News says the same thing. National News says the same thing. Look, they're already starting to peddle something, all right? They're already starting to tell you COVID's coming back. The lockdowns are coming back. I hope it's not, because that's going to suck when no one follows it, which I am a proprietor of. I'm not going to follow that anymore. Dr. Fauci just recently came out and said America has crested the hump of the COVID outbreak. Well, yippee, hooray, about time. I can't say that word. About time, all right? We're not being held hostage anymore by the government. You can go back to your everyday normal programming. Until Canada came out and said it. So now Canada's saying they're going to go back into lockdowns. Or, I'm saying Canada's going to go back into lockdowns based off the news, right? You know, they're already trying to put masks back up everywhere. Look, folks, just brace for the impact. If we go back into lockdowns again, it's going to get stupid. I'm telling you, it's going to be stupid. And I'm not going to be a part of it. For one thing, I won't be a part of it because I'm not going to be in the government anymore while that happens. So yippee hooray for me. But I'm not going to partake in the shenanigans anymore. It's not going to be every couple of years where we say, oh, it's time for total and complete lockdown and screw the economy and your rights. And then a month later, they dangle the keys in front of me to distract me. You know, I'm not doing this. And I'm sure most of you are not doing this. What would they do to us? What could they do to us if the majority of citizens in this country said, screw you, we're not wearing a mask, I'm not showing you my vaccine status, that's a HIPAA violation anyways, so, you know, if you ain't got to fly, don't fly, drive, you know? I can't tell people what to do at their jobs. All I can tell you is eventually we got to take a stand. We got to. We got to eventually, as a people, tell the government that we're not doing this anymore. They can keep doing it if they want, but we, the citizens, aren't doing it. Moving on to other news. Here, let's go over some of these cities with the highest increases of homicide rates during COVID. This will give you a warm and fuzzy. Overall ranks of the most dangerous cities in America. Now, when I had came back from Marine Corps contracting, when I had started with DHS, I was stationed in Camden City, New Jersey. And at that point in time, I believe it was 2012, at that point in time, it was the most dangerous city in America. Most murders per capita. However, that has changed, and here, let's just hear what we got. Number one, most dangerous city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana. Oh, I am so proud of New Orleans, Louisiana. All right, number two, Cincinnati, Ohio. Number three, Atlanta, Georgia. Four, Maryland, Baltimore. I'm not surprised about Baltimore. That's a crap city. Memphis, Tennessee. A lot of people don't know this about Memphis, Tennessee. That's a huge Black Lives Matter Antifa corridor. There's a lot of drugs, a lot of murder, a lot of gang stuff there, and also a high homeless rate. So when you look at a lot of these stats, there are always similarities. There's a high homeless rate, high drug rate, very high poverty. Typically, it's a Democratic city, you know, and which is everything I'm about to read to you. And you just start to add all these things in your mind together, and you go, "Oh, maybe living in a Democratic stronghold is detrimental to my health." And you would be right. All right, number six, Milwaukee. Good job, Milwaukee. Number 7, Louisville, Kentucky. Number 8, Norfolk, Virginia. That was surprising. Number 9, Detroit. Detroit, I'm sad. I thought you'd be higher on this list. Number 10, Dallas, Texas. Damn it. Well, hey, that is what it is. Dallas sucks. Dallas is such a crap city. There's a few cool things about Dallas. The Dallas PD and the Sheriff's Department there, their SWAT team's a really cool bunch of guys. I've trained with them. I did SHIELD training with them. Hats off to those guys. They're pretty cool. But, you know, I worked in Dallas back and forth because I worked within the DFW area for my old job in the feds. And I loved sitting by my radio and hearing my guys running code from call to call in Dallas. And then over here in Fort Worth, there would be almost nothing except like a parking complaint occasionally, or, you know, you deal with a disgruntled person or a crazy person. But in Dallas, man, is off the chain. So, you know, that's always pretty fun to me. Las Vegas, Nevada, number 11. Hey, if you liked, speaking of Las Vegas, if you liked what I did with the MK Ultra Brooklyn subway shooting, do me a favor. Send me an email of what other shooting breakdowns you'd like for me to get into. And if you want to see another MK Ultra breakdown or a Project Monarch breakdown relating to some of these split personalities, these shattered personalities, as former brother Russ Dizdar would talk about, if you want me to break down what I see as a former law enforcement guy, you need to go to YouTube, you need to go to the MK Ultra, and you need to put it in the comment section. I want to try and see if I can't get something going here, because I got a bunch of material in Las Vegas. I knew one of the special agents who was there for the shooting, and, you know, I know some of the guys that actually sat there and witnessed that shooting and told me how crazy it was. And there's a lot of anomalies. There's helicopters, people shooting on the ground, people shooting from up in the, you know, like seventh story of the building. There's a lot of anomalies there. And a lot of unanswered questions, especially like how the FBI, as usual, had a hand in it, and they sealed up the case. So, you know, if you want that breakdown, you can send me a email, let me know. You can hit it up on YouTube or on the Rumble channel. You know, I want to try and get something going here, because I had a lot of fun doing that, and I know a lot of people liked it. So, number 12, most dangerous city in America, Washington, D.C. What's interesting about Washington, D.C. being the 12th most dangerous city in America, not only is the fact that I have a lot of friends of mine who work in D.C., and I hope all you guys that are, if you even listen to me, I know a couple of you do, hope y'all are safe and you're doing all right. What's interesting about that is people don't know that there's actually a bad gang culture in D.C. There's quite a high poverty level across D.C. And within Washington, D.C., you got to understand, it's like the light bulb at night that attracts all the bugs, all right? It doesn't just bring in all the tourists, but it brings in all the terrorists, and it also brings in all the spies and all the gangs and all the crazies, the one-off people, the lone wolf attackers. It brings off the sniper people. It brings off all different types of crazy people out there. And there was recently a sniperish attack in Washington, D.C. I think 4 people were injured. Hold on, let me see if I can pull that up. We'll break it down next time. But yeah, that's already happened. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you already know what I'm talking about. So be careful out there in D.C. You know, there's always something going on. I would tell you that I would live as far away from Washington, D.C., from the Beltway as possible. All right. Number 13, Durham, North Carolina. You are the 13th most dangerous city in America. Chicago. What type of a world do we live in? When Chicago was ranked number 14 Number 14, most dangerous city out there. And Norfolk, Virginia was number 8. Things are changing. COVID is shaking, or the COVID lockdown shaked a lot of people out of those trees. You know, the problem is when all the nuts fall out of the trees, well, then we got to deal with them. You know, the gang culture is bad enough in Chicago. The policing out there, God, guys and gals, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you deal with Lori Lightfoot, that Beetlejuice looking insect. You know, good luck to you, I guess. I hope you're wearing level 4 plates because there's a shooting a day there. You know what's sad about that is I remember when Trump was saying that if the shooting didn't calm down, that he was going to send the federal troops and he was going to go send them into Chicago and we were going to, beef up a task force or be, highly visible on the ground. I don't know what it was. But what he ended up doing was ended up sending like a, extra like 100 ATF agents. That didn't do anything. All right, so Mr. President, if you're looking, or if you're listening to me, because I'm not videoing this, if you're listening to me, Mr. President, that didn't work. What you should have done was what the rumor mill was talking about. Now, most of you don't know the rumor mills within the government, but within my area, the rumor mill was that my agency was going to send several sub-agencies into Chicago, and we were going to take care of a gun problem within a certain part of Chicago. That never manifested. Could it have turned into a great big damn war? Probably. Honestly, it probably could have. Probably could have got really, really bad. But what are we supposed to do about Chicago? Or New York, or Baltimore, or New Orleans. What are we supposed to do about these cities that are more dangerous than Iraq or Afghanistan? And these are Democratic cities. And these Democrats want to take your guns away. They want to tell you all these other people around you are bad. They won't look at themselves in the mirror and say, you're the problem, right? Your cities are the problem, Democrats. Albuquerque, New Mexico. There's another crap hole. And no offense to everyone who lives there. I just know the crime of the area, all right? Minneapolis, Minnesota. That was actually kind of a surprising one. That's number 16. Albuquerque, you're number 15. Kansas City, you're number 17. I'm not too surprised about that. I was there for the Baltimore, part of the Baltimore riots and the Ferguson riots, so I'm not too surprised about that. Oakland, California. Oh, man, I had several of my buddies shot at a couple years ago in Oakland. That's a dangerous city. Let me see. We got Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's interesting. I don't know why that's number 19. Oh, yeah, that's right. Antifa. Antifa and the drug culture. Colorado is a beautiful state. It really is. If it wasn't for the fact that it's a Democratic stronghold, I would strongly consider moving to Colorado because of the fishing and the hunting and the mountains. However, man, your state's going to hell in a handbasket. There's no way that you can just allow all these leftists to do whatever they want and create their own utopia and not expect bad stuff to happen. But, that is what it is. And the other thing that's sad is that, between Denver and Colorado Springs and some of the other places that are out there, it's a long, long list of military bases out there. You know, it sucks for all the servicemen who have to live around that because it gets very dangerous. I've been in Colorado a couple times. I've seen it. You're not going to be able to just say every type of narcotic that's out there can be legal and not see repercussions. Hello, Seattle, Portland. And here's what's crazy. 1 through 20, Philadelphia, you're the last one. Or what they used to call Killadelphia. I worked in Philadelphia for 3 years. That city is surrounded by smog nonstop. You know, and it's a great city. It's a beautiful city, but it's turning to trash. Like every other major city that we have in America, it's turning to trash. I'm surprised Portland's not on here. Isn't that interesting to you? Portland's not on here for the increase in homicide rates, even though it went up 1,000% while I was there, because they were starting to take down all the Portland Police Bureau extra task force. They had a gun task force and some other stuff that was going on, and just like their RRT team, their rapid response team, which was kind of like a sister unit to my team that I was on. You know, when you start to take apart all of your specialized units and you don't have those assets, you don't have the funding, you don't have the manpower, and you don't have the training or the tools, the weaponry, what that does is that makes average day-by-day policing much harder. And because of that, it makes shootings from police officers much higher. When you start to cut down budgets, training is the first thing that gets affected. Then it's manpower and it's overtime. You know, I can't tell you how many times, but I've seen it. When there's calls for overtime, we need coverage on cities. We don't have enough people. But because of the whole George Floyd riot thing, you started getting blue fevers here and there. And that blue fever is when cops say, screw this. This is our protesting. We're not showing up for work for a day or two here or there. It puts a lot of strain on the upper management. And it gets their attention occasionally. I don't think it works, but occasionally it does get their attention. And, you know, that happened across the nation. However, can we do this all over again and get the same results? Can we get a 2020 riots all over again and get the same results? That's my question to you people. I'm going to go to a break. And when we get back, I'm going to let you listen to some audio of a California government meeting, a local government meeting, as they do a benediction to Satan for their opening start. We'll see you right after.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. All right, so I tried to find what city this was out of, but I couldn't. But I had one of you lovely listeners send this to me, so I'm just going to play it, and we'll talk about it. Stand by.
We'll now have an invocation by Iris Fontana from the Satanic Temple. You may either remain standing or be seated. No one's required to participate. Please come forward.
Are you kidding me? A freaking government meeting? and they're doing an invocation to Satan? Tell me we're not in a spiritual battle right now. I'm going to skip everything else this woman says and skip right to the end. I don't want you to hear the actual invocation, but trust me, she does a full-on invocation to Satan.
It is done. Hail Satan. Thank you.
So that's not unusual in California. They have a big satanic temple out there. They have a bunch of those crazy people. And if you've never heard a satanic invocation, I have. They will occasionally show up, and for whatever reason, just because it says police across your chest, they will talk, and, you know, if you're at a protest, you're going to listen. I remember it being done by Antifa in Portland. They also, you know, read us the whole entire communist handbook. It took like 7 hours. And the whole time, the tranny that was reading this stuff was wearing a Baphomet costume. A costume mask, anyways. We ended up arresting them. It's all right. But these people are out there. Why am I saying this? Why did I even bring this up? Well, for one thing, I'm sorry that I had to make you listen to that. But there is a rise in the Satanic Temple. There is a rising out of the darkness, a satanic army, a worship of Satan in this country. These same people, from BLM to Antifa, the liberals, the Democrats, the Satanic Temple, they all agree on very similar things. Let's just say that, very similar things. One of the main parts of that would be child sacrifice or abortion. They're very big on abortion. They claim to, the Satanic Temple claims to be out there fighting for people's rights for abortion. And, you know, it's not a bunch of grandmas with some posters that says, you know, Hail Satan on the side of it, you know, popcorn and grilled cheese afterwards. These people are sick. These people are mentally sick. Spiritually, they're damned. I don't care what you say. They're spiritually damned and mentally sick. They're very, very abhorrent, ugly people to be around. And they are starting to come out of the woodwork. Look at this whole pedophile ring scandal that's starting to pop up here and there within the news media and actors. And then we also have the politicians and the world elite. It's all over the place, and it's coming out. It's coming out for a reason. Why is it also that while the UFO stuff is starting to come out a lot, now the pedophile stuff is starting to come out? Has anyone else made a notice about that? You know, you would think if the government was trying to steer us in a direction, UFOs would be the best one, right? Because that'll captivate the audience, and scare the hell out of everybody, and confuse everybody. That's a good one. But why the need for pedophilia? Why the need for me to see on TikTok and on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter every blue and green-haired, half-head-shaved female teacher who says she's non-binary or she doesn't have a sexual orientation, she's not a male or a female, or sometimes it's a he. And they all also have another thing in common. They're around kindergartners. They're around children that are in elementary school. These people aren't teaching kids in high school. A couple of them are. The real radicals that are trying to turn people into the little terrorists of America, they're in high school. But the ones who are trying to absolutely promote this devilish, I'll just say satanic, thought process, they're with your little ones. Joe Biden just recently came out and said, when the kids, talking to the teachers, when the kids are in your classroom, they're your kids. Well, I'll just have you know, that's why my kids aren't in that classroom. I don't trust these people. These people are lunatics. I don't trust them. Wouldn't give them a time of day. I don't care that you got a 4-year degree in underwater basket weaving, and then you're an assistant teacher here and there, and then finally you learn something about economics and you became a teacher. I don't care. These people don't have the right to mentally harm children with this thought process of theirs that gets embedded into these children's minds 8 to 10 hours a day. 8 to 10 hours a day. These kids are around these teachers more than their parents. There should be no question at this point why we have such a confused generation of kids that are getting into so much trouble. When I was growing up, and I'm sure the same like many of you, when I was growing up, if I got in trouble, I knew not only was I going to get in trouble by the teacher, but I was going to get paddled a lick. I was going to get the paddle from the principal. Then I was going to get the paddle from the football coach. And then he was going to run me to death. And then I was probably going to get my butt whooped by my daddy when I got home. And then the real pain would start, right? Because then everything that you like back home starts to go away. And you're just stuck with chores. Where is that now? Where are the parents who are disciplining their kids now? Well, hell, you can't half the time. You can't, because you'd be like, hey, little Timmy, don't talk to your mommy like that. My name's not Timmy. I'm Susie. That's right. Get your cleats, Susie. We're late for football practice. You know, these kids are so easily corruptible, so easily susceptible to this devilish way of thinking and talking. We're going to lose an entire generation of kids. They don't know nothing about America. They don't know nothing about our history, our very rich history, which I am like super proud of our history. My family's been here from the beginning. So I'm proud of our history. I look out and I see some of these kids a lot in the gym. I'm a gymaholic. I'm always in the gym. And, you know, a lot of these kids will come up and they'll talk to me and they'll want to get tips on working out and all that stuff. But that's not what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to gather what they're thinking. Their way of language is going way past me now. I don't understand half the stuff kids say now. Their appearance is changing. I don't understand why the 80s is needing to be drudged back up, but here comes the 80s again. You know, we're losing foundations and principles in this country. We want kids to be functional adults when they grow up, so that way you're a functional member of society and you can give something back to this country. I don't want to raise a child from kindergarten to senior year in high school, then put you through 4 years of college, only for you to come out as an even more intelligent child. But that's what we're creating. There's no discipline. There's no fear of God in these people or in these kids. There's no fear of parents, I can tell you that much. Yeah, sorry, but I've arrested a bunch of your kids before. You know, and I would just say that maybe if you were a little harder on them, maybe then they would stay out of jail and stay out of prison. But hey, what do I know, right? Let's take a look at what Jack Posobiec recently posted on Twitter. So I'm sure many of you heard this so far. If you listen to the Doug and Dave Intel Report, which is on thecommonsenseshow.com, that's thecommonsenseshow.com, also on the TV. It's $2.99 a month, people, for that TV. And, you know, there's really good stuff on there. Plus, you get to see my pretty face. So, we recently talked about this, all right? The Biden administration, their Department of Homeland Security, is going to create a disinformation governance board. A disinformation governance board dedicated to countering misinformation. So what is this going to be based off of? Well, NTOS, the DHS National Terrorism Advisory System. If you haven't seen it yet, I'll read it for you now. All right, so you can go to DHS.gov and you can find this. It's the National Terrorism Advisory System. This is from February 7th, 2022. Summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. The United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation introduced or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. Right there, at the very, very top, is where they're getting this disinformation governance board, the countering misinformation. They will probably end up making this into some sort of an agency. This will probably be some sort of a task force, and then some sort of an agency. It'll probably be a discussion, and then it'll become policies, and then it'll become an agency. It'll have a badge, it'll have legs, and it'll be able to walk right up to you and tell you that you're saying bad things about the government, and you're going into a dark hole for a while. This is our 1984 George Orwell worst nightmare coming to life. Do you think George Orwell knew this was really going to happen? Or do you think it was all hyperbolic? He's like, I'm going to write a really crazy ass story. No one will ever believe this will happen because this is America. Even though I am a socialist, America, we're not this dumb. We'll never go this overboard. George Orwell is probably rolling around in his grave right now, as is Joseph Goebbels is probably clawing his way out of hell right now so that he could come and be a part of the Biden administration, because they're doing exactly what Adolf did. Let's continue reading this. These threat actors seek to exasperate societal friction, to sow discord and undermine public trust in government institutions, to encourage unrest, which could potentially inspire acts of violence, mass casualty attacks, and other attacks of targeted grievances, of targeted violence conducted by lone offenders and small groups acting in furtherance of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances, pose an ongoing threat to the nation. While the conditions underlying the heightened threat landscape have not significantly changed over the last year, the convergence of the following factors has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of the threat environment. 1. The proliferation, words are hard, of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine public trust in the United States government institutions. 2. Continued calls for violence directed at U.S. critical infrastructure, soft targets and mass gatherings, faith-based institutions such as churches, synagogues, and mosques, institutions of higher education, racial and religious minorities, government facilities and personnel, including law enforcement and the military, the media, and perceived ideological opponents. And 3, calls by foreign terrorist organizations for attacks on the United States based on recent events. So that was February, all right? They're still saying that these threats are out there, and it's such a threat that Elon Musk bought Twitter, that now they're going to come out with a disinformation governance board. Well, all that is a bunch of BS. The people who are threatening this country come from the left. Yeah, you got them on the right. You got regular criminals and you know, out-of-country terrorists. I get that. But your average day-by-day problem, it's coming from the left. It's coming from democratic cities. It's coming from an open border. It's coming from a government that does not stay true to the checks and balances that were put in place to keep so-called government from turning into a democratic process of a constitutional republic to a tyrannical, dictatorial, authoritative state, which is the direction we're going. Oh, and by the way, the DHS board for this disinformation governance board will be headed by Nina Jankowicz, who once claimed militarized Trump supporters would show up to the polls with weapons to intimidate voters, and she shudders at the thought of what she calls Trump humpers. There's a very thin line in this country. It's a razor's edge. It's an Occam's razor, but it's a razor's edge, right? And you are only going to be on the left or you're going to be on the right. You're not allowed to stand in the middle. If you do, either side will try to cut you. Right now, even as it looks, I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the left. Neither side is doing a good thing for anybody right now. The Republicans lie to us consistently, and they don't follow through with what they want, and they enrich themselves. At least the left comes right out and says they're trying to destroy the country and raise Satan from hell, right? Oh, Lord. All right. Hey, did you know that we sent a whole buttload of weapons to Ukraine? Over $800 million worth. If you didn't know it, and you haven't listened to the latest Doug and Dave Intel report, I would like to tell you what type of stuff we've recently sent to Ukraine right before the end of the show, and why Putin feels like there's provocation for war. So, we're not going to send troops, we're just going to send everything that can kill their troops. Right. Okay, so let's go over this. Our shipment of weapons to Ukraine includes over 1,400 Stinger aircraft systems, over 5,500 Javelin anti-armor systems, over 14,000 other anti-armor systems, over 700 Switchblade tactical unmanned aerial systems, 90 155mm howitzers, artillery cannons, and 183,000 155mm artillery rounds. 72 tactical vehicles to tow these howitzers. 16 Mi-17 helicopters. Hundreds of armored high-mobility multi-purpose vehicles. 200 M113 armored personnel carriers. Over 7,000 small arms. Over 50 million rounds of ammunition, 75,000 sets of body armor and helmets, 121 Phoenix Ghost tactical unmanned aerial systems, laser-guided rockets, Puma unmanned aerial systems, a lot of drones are in this package, unmanned coastal defense vessels, 14 counter-artillery radars, 4 counter-mortar radars, 2 air surveillance radars, M18A1 Claymore anti-personnel munitions, C4 explosives and demolition equipment for obstacle clearing, tactical secure communication systems, radios, night vision devices, thermal imagery systems, optics, and laser range finders. Commercial satellite imagery services, explosive ordnance disposal protective gear, so bomb suits, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear protective equipment, medical supplies to include first aid kits. Your money, your tax money has gone that direction. Oh, and just to let you know, before we close out the show, the U.S. left $7 billion of military gear to include 78 aircraft, 12,000 armored Humvees, and thousands of air-to-ground weapons in Afghanistan after Biden's 2021 withdrawal. So says the latest Pentagon report. Yep, let's go, Brandon. What a great time that we're living in right now. Look, folks, stay prepped, stay motivated, stay prepared. You know, prepare your heart for one thing with Jesus. And I would tell you, keep taking money out of the bank and saving it. Put it into something that'll be of use. If our economy collapses, what do you have? Do you have anything that you can barter or trade with? Do you have cash on hand? Gold, silver, platinum, palladium? SQMetals.com. You can visit that. You can visit mountain-state-survival.com for any of the food and camping and survival equipment. You can go to my buddies, Bob's Place, readymaderesources.com. That's Bob Griswold. If you need helmets, night vision, if you need radios, if you need to learn how to use any of that stuff, if you don't know how to prep, you don't know what to do for your area, call Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. And just to go ahead and put it out there, sometime in June, I'm going to be putting out a shooting course at Bob Griswold's place. More information about that coming. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.